Okay, new Mishnah. We're starting at Kuf Amud Bet at the bottom. Our dafta is Kuf Aleph. As you can see in the Gemara, there's lots of pictures. And if you have the Schottenstein or the Steins, also the Koran, there's also lots of pictures there. You can follow along. Okay, the Mishnah starts like this. Hamocher makom lechavero lasot lo kever. You sell a burial area. Now, you have to remember, right, there were catacombs in those days. There were burial caves. So if you sell someone a cave, a place to basically dig out a kever, or v'chein ha-mekabel mechavero la'asot lo kever, okay, you're a contractor who is assigned to basically build a burial cave for someone. The question is, what are the expectations of the size and how much you're basically intending either to purchase or to build out? So what's the standard size for a burial cave? Now, the one thing you have to remember about these burial caves are they were basically meant for families. So you would go into you'd have a cave, and you carve out, we're going to see now, different graves for family members. So you'd have a whole bunch in one cave. And the idea was that the family be buried in that cave. We saw that yesterday with the Pgam Mishpacha, right? That if you didn't allow someone to be buried in their family burial thing, it was an embarrassment. So you basically sell an area for someone to build a kever, or you get an area to cultivate, to basically turn it into a catacomb. Oseh tochash al ma'ara dalet amot al shesh. Okay, the size, interestingly, what's the size here? 4 by 6, which is the same size as the house, the small house, right? So just like it was a good size for a small house for an almana or a beit chatanim, so with the Mishnah Kuf Amud Bet at the bottom. So also this 4 amot by 6 amot, at least according to Tanakhama, that's the size of a cave. So if I sell someone a cave, a burial cave, and it's less than that amount, they can demand, hey, I needed a cave that was bigger than this. Okay, the beginning part relates to either selling, but the rest of this Mishnah, the rest of the part besides the basic size of the cave, now we're going to get into if you hire someone, this mekabel, in order to dig out graves, because you would basically, from what I understand, it's hard for me to totally understand the reality here, but you would get a cave that was kind of open in the middle with this big open space that was either 4 by 6, or we'll see another amount in a minute, by the other opinion. But then the idea is that you would then carve out along the sides of it, and that's going to be the whole debate today, if you can see the pictures already, how you would carve out, okay? And the other thing that's not yet mentioned in the Mishnah is that there was an assumption, you can look at the picture on the next amud, which is there was a chatzir in the middle, and that would open up to two different caves, okay? Or maybe 4 different caves, okay? We'll see the different opinions. But the idea right now is the cave is 4 by 6, and then you start carving out this mikabel, okay, whose job it is, he starts carving out from the sides, from the walls, areas for people to be buried in. Okay, so if you've gone to Beit Sharim or some of these other caves, you know there's these long, rectangular spaces dug into these caves where people were buried. And then they would put in aron inside with the body inside.
There's nothing in the sources like in the Torah or in the Tanakh about burial.
Right, there's not so much.
And they actually bury totally differently.
Right, I'm sure they buried differently in the time of the Torah.
Evidence
right.
Shows that it was completely different, so that it's right. Interesting that they have such a big discussion in the Gemara.
Right, well, also it's different nowadays. We don't have burial caves at all, right? That was what was. Presumably, that was what was common in the days of the
social and not religious.
Yes, right. Well, the truth is, we talked about that this Masechet in general is very social and not religious in nature. Right, based on custom, exactly. Especially right yesterday, it was all based on the custom of how you did this ma'amad and moshav. Okay, so how does it work? You get a ma'ara 4 amot al 6, upotech l'tocha 8 kuchim, okay? 8 kuchim, kuchim are these little recesses. Burial recesses, good. 3 mikan v'shalosh mikan. Okay, so now, let's say you walk in, there's an entrance to the cave. On your left side, you'll etch out 3. On your right side, you'll etch out 3. And 2 mikenegdan, and 2 on the opposite wall facing the entranceway. Okay, you can see the picture on the next page also, how that looks. So now, why these numbers? Okay, so there's an assumption that in between each one, let's talk about the sizes, okay, and then we'll get into all of them. Okay, the sizes, so let's say it's 6 by 8, okay? Okay, I'm sorry, 4 by 6. 4, 6. So here's your entrance. Okay, here you come into the cave. There's an assumption that the entrance is either 2 or 3 amas wide, okay, which is why it's going to be difficult to put any on this side, on the entrance side. We'll talk about that also further on. Now, it's 6 by 4. So on the 6th side, you leave 1/2 amma on either end, okay, and then you start with a kuch, which is 1 amma wide. Then you have an amma in between, so you have 1 amma, another amma. Then you have another kuch, okay, which is another amma. Then you have a space, which is an amma wide. Then you have another kuch, okay, and then you have the half. So you have 2 halves, which is 1, 3 kuchim, which is 3, and 2 spaces, which is 2. Okay, so that adds up to your 6. So that's how we end up with 3 on either side.
Doesn't that seem too narrow for a body? Like, this is an amma, right?
So the assumption is that a body is about 5 or 6 tefachim wide. Most people say 5, and then the space for the aron. You put a coffin in.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So the assumption is that a person's body, the average body, is about 5 tefachim wide, plus you need another tefach for the... Because remember, every amma is 6 tefachim. So again, in the regular size amma. And then you would have the aron would take up space. And the length of it was 4 amot. Okay. Here, we're going to say the amounts right now. Right. So also there's an assumption that when people's bodies, you know, when they die, there's less, you know, it kind of shrivels a little bit.
Think how small bodies always look when they're being carried.
Right. They do look kind of small. So here go the numbers. V'kuchin, or kan arba amot. Okay, so again, there's a bit of a debate about whether the assumption is the average body is 3 amot. Some people think the average body is more. There's a debate. And then they leave an extra amma for the aron. Okay. Or maybe the average body is closer to 4 amot, and then there's just a little extra space for the aron. V'ruman sheva, okay, which is really should be shiva, okay, which means the height is 7 tefachim high. The rochban shisha, and the rochav is 6 tefachim, okay, which is your amma. Okay, so that's how it works. That was the assumption. It's an amma wide, 4 amot long. So now remember, this is outside the space of the 6 by 4, you understand? The 6 by 4 is the open space in the middle of the cave. Then they would dig out to the sides these burial spots. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Oseh tocha shel mara 6 amot al 8. Okay, he thinks it's not 6 by 4, 4 by 6. He thinks it's 6 by 8. Okay.
He also disagreed about the living quarters.
That's a good question. Did he disagree about the living quarters? I don't remember. No, that was Rabbi Yishmael who said Refet Bakarizo. Remember the Refet Bakarizo? Because we're going to... Okay, remember there he said, oh, what kind of a small amount? That's like where the cows live. Okay, we're going to see a similar comment someone else makes, not in the Mishnah this time, but one of the MRE makes a comment that reminded me of that. okay, so now, Rabbi Shimon has a different opinion. He thinks that the Mara is bigger. Tocha shel Mara 6 amot al 8. Upotech l'tocha 13 kuch. Okay, instead of... Okay. Oh, by the way, I didn't do the math on the other side, but on the 4th side, it's the same math, which is basically 1/2 on either side. So then you're left with 3. So for 3 amot, you do 2 kuchim and 1 amma in the middle. Okay. So now, the first opinion ended up with 8. This opinion is going to say, no, it's actually bigger and you get 13. So how did the 13 work? Kuch. 4 on each side, because now once you have 8, you have room for 4, because again, 4 amot of space, 3 amot of in between, that's 7 amot, and the 1/2 on either side, that gets you to 8. Okay, so he says like this, so 4 mikan and 4 mikan, 3 mikinegdan, on the 6th side you can fit 3, like we already saw, ve'echad miyamin hapetach, ve'echad min hasmol. Okay, 1 on the right side of the entrance, 1 on the left. We don't really know what this means yet, okay? Because if you say on the right of the entrance and the left of the entrance, well, then that's a little weird because then you're going to end up like at the entrance of the cave. How is there room on the corner? You know, where exactly are you going to put this? That's going to be the first question of the Gemara. So I'm going to leave it open right now where they say, Chab yamin v'chab
b'smol. What the cave is like.
They're talking about this is the basic size. So where are you going to have size to put a chami yamin and a chami small? So we'll talk about it. What exactly it is? Okay. Okay, now they say, by the way, okay, like I mentioned earlier, there's a chatzir in the entrance to the cave. Shesh al shesh. Kimaloha mita v'kovreha. So in front of the cave, there has to be a place where they deal with the dead before they bury him. So there has to be a place for the dead body. There has to be a place for the people who are dealing with the dead body as they enter the cave. And there was an assumption that the bodies sometimes remain there for a little while. As they dealt with it. I'm not sure exactly what they were doing with the body in that spot, but there was an assumption that it stayed there for a while, and therefore you need this space that's 6x6. Okay? Enough for the mitah, for the coffin, and the people burying it. Upotech letocha shtei ma'arot, echat mikan ve'echat mikan. Now we're learning that actually there was a chatzir that opened up into two caves. So if you bought a plot, right, with a burial cave, so the assumption is you'd be getting a chatzir with these two ma'arot. Okay? And then Rabbi Shimon Omer, arba la arba ruchoteha. Okay? Rabbi Shimon holds. So now, according to Tanna Kamma, you have one chatzir 6x6 that opens up into a 4x6 area, of which there's 8 in each. So you're going to end up with 16. According to Rabbi Shimon, you actually get 4 caves per chatzir, each one having 13 in them. Okay, so that's going to be already 52 graves. Okay, so it's a much bigger area. Also it's 6x8 rather than 4x6. Okay, so it's going to be a much bigger area according to him. Now we get a third opinion, okay, which is unclear exactly what he means. From Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Hakol Lefi Hasela. Now this, what does he mean? Okay, it all depends on the rock in which you're building. So now, until now we've discussed two different things. We've discussed the kuchim, the actual burial spots, and we've discussed the caves. So now the question becomes, what's he referring to? So Rashbam brings two options, okay? The Rashbam says, akol lefi hasela, akuchim kai. If you look in the Rashbam there, in mine, it's right under the picture there. She'im akarka chazak, ein tzarich hefresh ama ben kuch lekuch lakotel. He says like this. He says, if the rock is solid, then you don't need so much space. Why do you have this amah space in between each kuch? The reason you have the amah space is so things don't disintegrate. But if the rock is very hard, then you don't have to worry about it. And therefore, you can put more than 13 because you can put them much closer to each other. But then the Rashbam says in the middle, he suggests that maybe it's referring to the v'nir ebe enai. If you look down another four lines, v'nir ebe enai da ama arot kai nami kai. That maybe he's also referring to the caves, not only referring to the kuchim, and now it would be the opposite. If the rock is very hard, so then you don't need an ama in between each kuch because the walls can support it. But again, remember what the case is: you're hiring someone to dig out caves for you. So what does he say? Da kol lefi hasela yasem arot harbe mikol tzad. If the sela is hard, it's going to be much harder for him, for the kablan to start digging out graves. So therefore, he says the amount of ma'arot is going to depend on how hard the rock is. If the rock is softer, then you can get more caves out of it. So each one goes the other direction, right? If you say it refers to the kuchim, you can get more kuchim in. It says it refers to the, if it's hard. If it's hard and you're talking about the ma'arot, then you're going to get less ma'arot because it's going to be much harder work for him to dig out all the stuff. Okay, and he bases this on some interpretation he has of a Tosefta. Okay, next. So he says, Hakol lefi hasela. Okay, third opinion there. So we now have, let me just review, three opinions. One is, you get this chatzir, everyone agrees the chatzir is 6x6, that opens up either into two caves, which have 8, 3, 3, and 2, or you have one chatzir that opens up into four caves, and each cave is going to have 13 burial spots dug out from there, and according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, potentially even more, or maybe less ma'arot, right? It's unclear exactly what he means. So like I said, the problem with Rabbi Shimon becomes this echad miyamin ve'echad mismol. Where do these extra ones go? So we get the four on the sides, the three opposite, right? That gets you up to 11, and now we have these two that come out, echad miyamin, echad mismol, apetach. We don't know what they mean. Hane tre lehecha shadi lehu. Where are they going? If you put them outside, right, meaning like I drew in the picture, they're coming out from the entranceway, right? So they're coming out here. Okay, here's your entranceway. Basically, on the sides of your entranceway, they're coming out. Well, now you're going to have a problem. What's going to be your problem? Remember, this is six tefachim. Outside, there's a chatzir that's 6 by 6. So that means that these burial spots are going to be right underneath the chatzir. The assumption is, by the way, there's a whole debate about whether the chatzir... Oh, I didn't... where are the words? The words in the Mishnah were... Ve'oseh chatzir. What does it mean, oseh chatzir? So there's a bit of a debate about how this chatzir worked. Was it that the chatzir is level with the ground, and then the cave is dug down underneath the ground, like at a lower level, which would then make sense that now if we put out these burial plots, they're going to be underneath the chatzir, right? Because the cave is recessed. Some people say oseh, and then what would you basically mean by oseh chatzir? Well, you basically level out the ground right there. You know, you just make it a little nicer, the space right in front of the cave. Some people say, no, oseh means that it was on a lower level. You would have to dig out the chatzir. Some people say it was actually on the same level as the cave. Some people say it was recessed from the ground, but then the cave was recessed even further. Okay, so there's a bit of a debate about that. So now, they say, if you put it, if they're going, jutting out toward the entranceway where you came in from, well then, kabidash elihu, you're going to trample on it. Meaning, you know, okay, what's the issue? The issue is that you're going to be walking every time you go into that cave, and especially when you deal with when you have your dead body and all the people dealing with it, they're going to be all standing right on top of dead people underneath, and that's not mechubad. Okay, and the assumption is maybe... You know, in the area, the surrounding area, maybe someone might trample. But here, there was a lot of time they were dealing with things in this exact spot, and it just wouldn't be appropriate to be doing that when there's dead people right underneath you. Vitu, and all the more so, maybe you say, okay, that doesn't bother us so much. The dead people are underneath the ground, right? We're just on land that's on top of it. Shouldn't bother you so much. But hatnan, but there's a Mishnah that seems to prove that this couldn't possibly be the case. Why? What does the Mishnah say? Chatzir ha-kever ha-omei b'tocho tahor. If you're standing in the chatzir ha-kever, okay, you're tahor. Why are you tahor? Because, okay, by the way, we learned this in Sota. Generally, if you're within 4 amot of a dead body, there's an assumption that you could easily touch that body and you're going to become tamei no matter what. Okay, even if you're not, let's say, on top of it. Remember, tumah goes up generally, so you're not going to be on top of it. So... the assumption is in the chatzir, you're not on top of the tumah, but you're getting close to the tumah, right? So generally, you might even be within 4 amot of the tumah. However, I have the tameh meit, but we say you're not tameh in that case because why? If you remember this, you're in a separate reshut. It's if you're in the cave, then you're within 4 amot, so you're already right next to the body, and you're in the same reshut as the body. But if you're in the chatzir, since it's a totally separate designated reshut, we're not worried that even though you're within 4 amot of it, you might come to touch it, because you're in a separate reshut. So that's the chidush of this Mishnah. What does this have to do with our issue? So that's fine about the 4 amot. That doesn't really have to do with our thing. But if you're standing in this chatzir, and underneath you is tumah, then you're going to become temei. Now, there's a bit of a debate here, because when we talked about the height of the kuch, what did we say? Okay, you have to remember how tumah works. So the height of the kuch, we said, was 7. Why was it 7? Because, actually, we didn't get into this. But if you look in Tosfot, Ruman Shiva, look back on Kuf Amud Amabet. Okay, Tosfot explains this, although there's a big debate around, I'm not going to get into all the different opinions. But Tosfot's opinion is like this. Perish Rabbeinu Shmuel. Why is the Ruman Shiva Tvachim? Kedei sheyehe potech tefach ba'aron, shelo tehe tum'a bokat ve'ola u'mitamei ha'over al gabav. The idea was that you have 6 tefachim of the body, or 6 tefachim really is the height of the body, including the aron. Then you leave an extra tefach, because if you have a tefach of space above something tameh, then a ceiling, then basically it prevents the tumah from going further up. Okay? So then, Shema Perakam Misha Meitom, okay, let's skip for a minute. Okay. So what does he say? Okay. They say that even though there's no tumah d'oraita, because in essence, what do you have? You have the body, you have the aron, you have a tefach, and then you have the ceiling. So because of that tefach, if you didn't have the tefach, the tumah would go up. But because of that tefach, it allows you to prevent the tumah from going up. So there shouldn't be a problem in theory. But what does he point out? That that's only Tumah Midoraita. But Tumah Midrabbanan goes up even if there's a coffin and the tefach and the ceiling. Okay, the Tumah goes through there, even Midrabbanan, they would go there. And he points out here that they only allowed it if, like, you have to go lalecha limkom mitzvah, likrat malachim, or in certain areas they allow people to do it anyway, and it wasn't mitameh, but otherwise it generally is mitameh Midrabbanan. So according to Tosfot, the way we read this again, I'm specifically saying according to Tosfot, because there's other interpretations that there wasn't this tefach, and it's Tumah Doraita. Okay, so there's different opinions. But Tosfot points out that the way we're going to read it like him, so now, this chatzera kever homei b'tocho tahor, meaning, even midrabanan, there's no tumah. So if there's no tumah midrabanan, it must mean that what? There were no keverots underneath. So if there's no keverot underneath, well then where are these two kuchim coming out of? So they're using this mission to basically prove it can't possibly be the kuchim were going out by the entrance, because otherwise the chatzir, homei b'tocho, would be tameh and not tahor. Okay, so according to Tosfot, it's only Tamei Midrabanan. There's others who explain, no, it's actually Tamei Midorait. Amar Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina, Da'avid lehu kimin nagar. So here's our first interpretation. They built it like, okay, instead of going four tefachim in, four amod in length, six tefachim in width, right? The way we viewed it was it's lying on the ground like this. It goes down into the ground, okay, like head up, you know, in other words, it's a standing kever, in which case it doesn't take up the space that we're worried about. Okay, so then you could put it in the corners. So now look, you have your, let's say we said the entrance is either like three or four amot. So you have an ama on either side at least. Okay, so you would basically, near the entrance in that corner, you would stick, right? And it could even be jutting out of the cave, okay? Even if it's not in the space of the 8x6, right? Imagine it's in the outside of the cave, but it's not, you know, it goes basically down into the ground and it doesn't get in the way of, you know, it doesn't cause tumah. Okay? So now, this seems to be a strange way to bury people, right? Standing up like that. So, ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, but wait, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, furat chamorim hizo, this is the way you bury animals, okay, right? You just throw them into the ground, and that's really not a respectable way. I thought that was like the Refet Bakar, right? That, you know, this whole, you keep seeing this comparison of, are you treating human beings like animals? And therefore, you can't bury people like that, and that doesn't work. So, the Rabbi Yochanan, de'avid lihu b'keren zavit. Okay, what does he say? You do it on an angle. Okay, now on an angle coming out of the opposite walls. Okay, in other words, you're doing it, right? I think we're already up to the opposite walls. I just have to remember. Right. So now, instead of on the side of the entrance, it's going to be on the far side. Okay, it's going to be, you can see the picture, okay, the picture over here, the first picture on the page, okay, that there's basically your entrance way, you walk in, you have four on your left, four on your right, three straight ahead, and in between the walls of the four and the three, there are these corners jutting out, okay, they go out to the end, okay, so now, what's going to be the problem with this? Okay, if you do know basic math, the Pythagorean theory, right? A squared plus B squared equals C squared, right? So now, if you have these corners coming out, okay, the question is how much space do we have for them? We have a half here and a half here. So now, if you have a triangle that a half and a half, and the hypotenuse of that is going to be, right? And you remember, that's the only space we have. We have to have an opening. The opening to this kuch is going to have to be the third side, the hypotenuse of the half and the half, which is not a whole, right? It's not more than one. It's less than one. Okay, so therefore, I forget the exact amount that it is, but it's like 0.78 maybe, something like that, okay? So basically, you don't have an ama to dig a kuch out, okay? So therefore, what do they say? V'hanage kuchin lahadade. If you do it like this, the kuchim are going to overlap, and it can't possibly be. It doesn't make any sense. So therefore, what do they say? Amarav ashi b'ma'amik. It must be they do them at different depths. And that way, right, so that, let's assume these two outer ones are dug at a different depth than the others, and therefore they don't overlap. Okay, we don't care if they overlap in terms of, you know, one's higher than the other, as long as they don't join together, right? You don't end up with a real overlap. So if you put some lower, some higher, that should work. And here he says, here's his proof that Ma'amik is the right way to go. De'ilo te'mahachi arba ma'arot le'Rabbi Shimon hechi avid lehu hakanage kuchen lahadade. Okay, now look back at the page before. If you look at the picture of Rabbi Shimon, what do you see here? You see those, that the when you come out, right, if you have four ma'arot, and remember, these are rooms that you dig from the out, right, or the walls of the rooms, you dig outward. So if you dig outward in four different directions, right, the first, at least according to the picture, the first two in each room are going to overlap with the next two in the next room. Okay? It just isn't going to work that way. And they're obviously going to overlap according to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, what does Rav Ashi say? Rabbi Shimon must have been talking about Ma'amik, because otherwise there's no way to do his four caves with tombs coming out of each, right, burial spots coming out of each one. They're clearly going to overlap. Okay, so Arma Rola Rav Shimon Hechi Avad Lehu Hakanage Kuchen Ladade. They're obviously going to overlap. Ela B'Ma'amik. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon must have been talking about B'Ma'amik, and therefore, when Rabbi Shimon talked about these other two ones jutting out, don't worry that they're going to overlap. Hachanami B'Ma'amik. Okay, so he claims that these two ones are from the opposite corners, right? Not by the entrance area. That can't possibly be because of the Tumah issue, right? Because then the Mishnah wouldn't be accurate. Your Tahor and the Chatzer. So therefore, it must be opposite the entrance on the other wall, jutting out. And don't worry, they'll hit into the others because we build them at different levels.
But how would you get to the lower one?
You dig. You dig down and you have
Let's say you were visiting. Like, did people visit these?
I assume people visited them.
There's no way to get, if there's crypts on all four sides of this thing, there's no way to get down below. How would you
stairs from inside?
Right, you must have like a
stairs, six.
Here comes the architect speaking. It's not possible to do this. Right. Well, look, it's entirely possible that there's some other technical problem here, that maybe this isn't actually doable. Right, you'd have to think, you don't think that within the open space of the cave you could sort of design some steps going down and get into
six by six, there's just not enough room. You can make a hole with a ladder, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But did you have to face the crypt, or could you just say, oh, in this area?
But at
some point they had to get a body into it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay. So we're going to see that not everyone agreed with this option either. Okay? Rav Huna bereid Rav Yoshua amar arba ma'arot l'Rabbi Shimon de'avelehu ki charuta. Just like a dekel tree, right? We see palm trees all over here. What happens then? They bend to the side. Okay, now they really droop a little bit. But what they're talking about is, you know, when they're nice and strong and they go out on an angle. Okay, so now he's going to say that the four and the four are angled. Okay, so now imagine, okay, it's a little hard for me to visualize this until I finally got it. But the way it works is you have a chatzer, you have a mara. Okay, here's your mara coming out this way also. Okay, so now all of the ones that we were worried are going to intersect all angle out. Okay, they all, let's say, angle down in the same direction. There's a picture here, although it's a little hard to see from the picture also. But they're basically all angled in the same way, and they're angled and they're not going straight. If they go straight, they intersect. If you put them all in a diagonal, it'll work out just fine. Okay, or maybe not. Okay, v'hadar Rav Huna b'reidar Rav Yoshua, the Gemara says, beruta hi. Okay, some people, usually when it says beruta means it's on the outs, right? It's an out, it's an opinion that we reject. Bar is chutz, right? It means outside. Okay, so either it means it's an outside thing, meaning there's no place for what he says. Some people say it means beduta. Beduta is like a joke. It's a joke. What kind of a ridiculous answer is this? Okay, now we're going to see why. Because michti kol, here comes the Pythagorean theory, michti kol ama biribua, amta v'tre chum sheba alachsona, okay, which is close to accurate, right? Every ama biribua, right, every if you have a triangle, let's say, you have an ama by an ama, right, that's ama biribua, is ama amta v'tre chum sheba alachsona, it's 1 2/5 on the diagonal, okay, the hypotenuse. So kama havalahu. So in this space, okay, now, what's the issue here? You have a space that's, 1 second, your space is 6 by 6, right? Right, this is the area, 1 second, you have a, let's do a new one. You have the chatzer, it opens to a cave that's 6 by 8, Okay, and then opens to another cave that's 6 by 8. Okay, right, it's 6 by 8. And then this space is 8 by 8, right? So the alachson here, right, the diagonal, in other words, what's the issue? You have to fit, I have to remember how this works.
There's a picture.
The diagonal, right. You have to fit, and that's all these are going through here, right? You have 8 kuchim going through. right, that's the issue. If you measure 8 kuchim, okay, let's say you cut a line, those 8 kuchim are going out, and you cut a line straight through, which is going to be the hypotenuse of that triangle, okay, of the 8 by 8 triangle. So there, 1 second, is it 8 by 8 or is it 6 by 6? It's 8 by 8. I have to remember here. 1 second.
You come in on a small side.
Right. So kama havaluhu chad shrei v'chumshe. It's going to be 11.5 amot and a fifth. Okay. That's right. That's the measurement of 8 by 8. It's going to be 11.5. Right. What is it? 11 amot and a fifth. Okay. Now kuchin kamu havu. Okay. But how much do the kuchim take up? Right? So, Timnaya, there's 8 of them, right? Timnaya, b'chad shrei v'chum shehechi mishkachala. So if you remember, now again, these are going through, right? So now you need 8 across, plus an ame in between. Okay, so that's going to be 15, because remember, there's 8 with only space in between, right? You don't need for double, you don't need 8 by 8, but you need 8 times 2. But you need 8 times 2 minus 1, right? You need, basically, at least space for 15. And you don't have 15 amot going across. Okay? So therefore, you only have 11 and a fifth. And therefore, it can't possibly be that these 8 kuchim going out at an angle would work. So it was very nice that you suggested this, Rav Huna Breider, Rav Yeshua. But you obviously didn't know what you were talking about mathematically. There's no way this could work out. So, Ella had Rav Huna Breider, Rav Yeshua, Berutahi. Okay? It's obviously a mistake. Okay? Now, so what are our answers so far? Okay, we're trying to figure out, now what we've done is we've gotten a little off on a tangent because we were trying to figure out what are the corner ones. We said the corner ones must be from the opposite end, right? We were looking opposite for the entrance. They're going out to the corners. We said, wait, but that doesn't work because there's not an amma of space. They'll overlap. What do they say? Oh, no, don't worry. They're b'ma'amik. Like Rav Ashi said, which Shari said, maybe technically speaking, architecturally speaking, it wouldn't necessarily work. But the Gemara doesn't reject it. The Gemara says it could be b'ma'amik, okay, not to say that maybe really there is an issue with this, but it could be b'ma'amik. And what's his proof? That when Rabbi Shimon gave these four ma'arot, they obviously must overlap, and therefore it must be ma'amik there, and therefore it's ma'amik here. From that, we got a little bit sidetracked to try to figure out if there's other answers to Rabbi Shimon and his four caves and how they intersect. And how that could be. So we had a different suggestion of Rav Huna Breider, Rav Yeshua, who said it was kicharuta, right? They're basically on angles, in which case that prevents them from overlapping, which would have been very nice, except that technically speaking, you can't fit them into the room of the 8 by 8 size. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. Now we're going to have another suggestion about the... Right, how we're going to fit everything. Okay? So now, Ibait Ema Kedam Rav Shisha Bereder Rav Idi Bin Nifle. Hachanami Bin Nifle. Unfortunately, there were a lot of infant deaths in those days. Okay? In fact, I just read a very interesting article about someone who did this initiative. The Dafka said, because infant deaths were so common way back when, the Judaism never created a ceremony for stillborns. And it was
a
combination, right?
Never even lived in
there, it's true. But a nefel is either one. It could be a stillborn, I think, or an infant death. In other words, whether the child died in childbirth, right? It needs burial in any case. If you know nowadays, there's a whole big thing about burial. Usually, the Chevra Kedisha takes care of it without the parents knowing. But really, the parents have a right to go and be part of it. And there have been court cases about this. There were a lot of these infants that the Chevra Kedisha kind of just put them somewhere and has no idea. Like, they don't keep records, and the parents wanted to know where it was, and the Chevra Kedisha couldn't find them. They threw them all into
they
bury them in a Kever Achim, and they just throw them in. It's very unpleasant. and there've been lawsuits about it, and things are changing. And so this was an organization that was trying to be, they did, I think it was in a shul, I didn't read all the details, but it was basically a way of saying nowadays that it's less common, and however, it's unfortunately, there's a lot of cases of it, and people don't know what to do, and communities don't know how to relate to it, you know, they, because our religion doesn't have a culture of, what we have a culture, you know, we sit Shiva, and we say Kaddish when it's a real, you know, a regular death, what do we do with this? We don't really, and the what I thought was interesting about it was, their point was the whole thing was just because it was so common in those days that because of it, there was no, it wasn't treated the same way it's treated nowadays. And the effect on people wasn't the same as the effect on people nowadays. Because there was less expectation that the baby would make it. So therefore, it was treated somewhat differently. So therefore, here, I thought it was interesting, the Dafka, I read this a few days ago, and it was in my head when I read this. He's saying basically when you build these family plots, they obviously left areas for Nephilim, which were much smaller. You didn't need the space of the four amot long because the Nephil is very small. And that's how we don't have intersecting graves. Because these, you know, in a family plot, you're going to assume there's going to be a few Nephilim. And therefore, some of the plots are going to be very small. And that's how they don't intersect. Okay, so that's his interpretation. And the way this Gemara reads, I didn't read this carefully, Kedama Rav Shisha Beredu Rav Edi, the way they're going to say, maybe you could suggest, just like Rav Shisha Beredu Rav Edi explained in a different case, that the case must be referring to Nephilim, Hachanami Benifli. We can say maybe he would say the same thing, not that he said it by us, but they're saying maybe he would say the same thing by us, that we're talking about Nephilim's graves, and that's why they're not going to intersect, because they're much smaller, and then you won't have that issue. Okay, we'll stop here for today.